This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back to the Garibaldi Red podcast. A slow start because it's a Sunday. 2 points dropped and a missed opportunity potentially for Forest yesterday as the Reds draw 2-2 to Wolves. One positive, we scored from a set piece, but there's a surprise, we conceded from another one, adding to our lovely record of 22 goals conceded from set pieces. Joining me to discuss the performance, questionable substitutions potentially, relegation worries, and I'm sure lots more, Dave Asprey, regular to the podcast, Forest fan. He's back. We've agreed fees with his agents. How are we, Dave?
Yeah, all right, mate. So I've had a nice, relaxing day. I'm still aching a bit from my hour of six aside on Friday night, which at the age of 60, maybe I shouldn't, you know, let discretion be the better part of valor and sit still. But I've enjoyed a really good weekend watching teams with no bottle. Leeds, Leicester, Arsenal, Liverpool and Rangers. Five of the funniest comedy programmes I've seen for a long, long time. Bless them all.
Yes, bless them all. Thanks for putting the overtime in today as well, Dave, considering you did football on a Friday. I'm sure you could defend the set piece maybe better than the current Forest squad. Also joining us, Max Scott, TalkSport broadcaster, Forest fan. Max, good to see you. Were you doing football on Friday like Dave, or were you having a rest?
No, I wasn't actually, but if Forrest needs someone to defend corners, then get me in there. 6 foot seven, 30 years old, 15 stone. Bosh. No, yeah.
I know. Get him in.
Yeah, I'm hyping myself up far too much there. Considering my height, I'm actually really poor. You know, considering how tall I am, I'm not a good header, actually.
We won't mention my footballing ability. Dave would like to talk about it in the Footprints charity game last year. But yeah, that was 10 minutes on the pitch and to be replaced by Dave Asprey. Probably a... Oh, no, I wouldn't say a low point in life, but I'd say one where I kind of question my ability at certain things. That's why I'm going to stick to podcast hosting. Right, let's get into it and stick to what we're going to talk about. Forest, what a shame. Lots of comments as well coming in already live to us on Facebook and YouTube. We are live this evening. Be sure to get them in. Alex says, afternoon, fellas. Shame we keep letting these great opportunities to put some daylight between us and Luton slip through our fingers. I think that's the feeling amongst all of us. Dave, kick us off then. There yesterday, as always. A bit of a bright start for Forest, actually. Came out of the blocks. It doesn't really happen a lot. Forest went for it, had lots of chances, missed opportunities again. But just what did you think of the game? And then we'll kind of take it from there, really.
As a neutral, I think it was a really good game of football. There was lots going on. There were, you know, both teams played some good football. I thought we were the better team. I thought we played really well, actually, which is what makes not winning more galling. You know, teams that are better than us would have found a way to win that yesterday, but we somehow found a way not to win it. So it was, I don't know, I was kind of strangely calm all the way through the game. I just kind of thought Forest started well. You know, we're creating far more chances now than we did previously, but it's this lack of a killer instinct and a cutting edge. And, you know, we've got our feet in the mud and we can't drag it out and move forward and get away from pesky Luton. You know what I mean? And it's weird. You almost get the sense around the patch that, like, they lost 5-1 and yet somehow their Saturday was happier than ours. I just wish we could just push them away, you know. But if we can't distance ourselves, and this is no respect to Luton, because what Luton have done is astonishing. It's one of the great footballing fairy tales. Let's get that out there. But if we at Nottingham Forest cannot distance ourselves from Luton Town and continue to fail to do so, then we deserve to go down. But if Forest had played averagely yesterday and got a 2-2 draw, I'd be quite happy. But I thought Forest played really well. I thought, you know, created chances. There were opportunities. But you know, Max, you touched on it. This set piece thing is just it's just a millstone that can't be shed. And everybody, it was up this afternoon. They were talking about Villa from set pieces, and up it comes, and who are like way ahead of everybody at conceding set pieces, Nottingham Forest. And you know, we on this, I think the last time was three lads sat and nattered about it. I think we were like questioning what the set piece coach does. And his contribution has to be called into question. But it was galling because I thought Forrest played well. I mean, really, Forrest actually haven't played too bad recently. I thought there was a really good half an hour last week at Tottenham, which was kind of derailed by half time, which, you know, Forrest were in rhythm, playing well. Okay, would he hit the postman? Really, maybe he ought to have scored. But I thought Forrest were the better team the last 30 minutes of the first half. And then, you know, half time and an Ange double substitution did for it. And like, yes, yesterday I played some really good football. You know, it's far more watchable, our football, now than it was at the start of the season. But just and teams will find a way to win, then we are either going to stay in the mire or we will be a championship side come 5 weeks tonight. And we don't want that.
What did you make of it, Max? It really was. You just feel like every single week for Forest is just getting bigger and bigger. And you know, yes, we can come kind of out of it yesterday and say it was 1 point gained and, you know, we bettered Luton's result. But at the same time, you're thinking Forest really should have won that game given the chances that we had.
Yeah, I mean, I largely agree with Dave about the performance. I think it reminds me of how difficult it is to win in the Premier League. You know, it's such a competitive league, and I know it's a really obvious thing to say, but even when we're playing well, and even when, you know, some of our best players are in form, you know, the likes of Morgan Gibbs-White, etc., you know, Danilo had, I thought, one of his best performances for a while. Even despite that, you know, you're struggling to beat Wolves, and that's not a slight against Wolves. They've had a fantastic season. Gary Neil deserves loads of plaudits for what he's managed to do in a similar situation to Forest. So, what do I think? It was a good performance, but this is why we are where we are, because we aren't clinical enough. You know, the last 15 minutes of the game, the ball was hardly in our half. I mean, it was complete dominance in terms of possession. It looked like it was only going to go one way. But, we, in those moments, Divock Origi's had an absolute hammering online, rightly so, for that woeful pass. And it's little moments like that that come the end of the season, you start thinking, well, is this going to cost us? But, yeah, I think Nuno's finally figured out, you know, what his best setup is, largely finally found out sort of, you know, how to utilise Morgan Gibbs-White best. I like the look of Danilo. I like the fact that Ibrahim Sangare looks nowhere near to pulling on a shirt. I think that there hasn't been a modicum of sort of decency from him on the pitch. There's been moments where he's passed the football forwards, but I can't think of any meaningful contribution he has made in a Forest shirt, and I'm delighted that he's not playing. And I think fair play to Danilo, who last season sort of was brilliant, and then he's gone off it, but he seems to have found a bit of form and a bit of consistency. And I think, you know, well, I'll let you come on to it, Max, but, you know, we've got to talk about the subs at some point.
Yeah. Because
crikey, yeah. Moses, Nuno Tavares. I mean, I saw someone tweet, it looked like he'd won a fan competition to play for 5 minutes, which I thought was completely appropriate. But so yeah, I mean, I do like what I'm seeing on the pitch largely. I thought that we were more consistent than we were against Spurs. Spurs was really frustrating because we looked brilliant for half an hour. It looked like we could really upset them. Spurs looked there for the taking, I thought. And then it all just, we just lacked that consistency, haven't we? And I think we've shown that over against Fulham and against Wolves that we can perform for sort of longer than, you know, longer than half an hour, basically.
Yeah. I think so, Max. There's some good points there, and we will come on to those substitutions in a short while. We are live on YouTube and Facebook, so be sure to contribute to the conversation and tell us what you think of yesterday. Pat says, hi, gorgeous chaps. Only too kind, Pat, on a Sunday. This one, Shane says, lose against Everton. It's either us or Luton for the drop. I was about to say, our hoodies are quite similar, actually, Dave. Sort of Garibaldi red merch, maybe, coming
next. Dedicated followers of fashion, Max. You know what I mean?
Well, exactly, yeah. Very young.
To quote Ray Davies.
Right. Let's touch on the substitutions, because that would be a good point to kind of start on. Dave, when you look at the depth that Forest do have, and when you look on paper, Forest do have some good players on there. And we talk about Divock Origi, and we talk about him, and he's a player that's, you know, I keep mentioning it, but he's played in the Champions League final. You've got Nuno Tavares, who was at Arsenal for a while. You could argue he's a Premier League footballer on paper, not so much on the pitch. But it's just, when you're in the dying moments of the game and you're trying to win and salvage everything you can in a relegation battle, the substitutions to me just did not make any sense whatsoever.
A couple of them did.
Which one?
A couple of them did. I thought Nico Dominguez made us better when he came on. I thought he played well. I thought little Rodrigo Ribeiro looked a sharp young lad.
Who put a great ball through to Divock Origi.
Do you know what, mate?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I don't do Twitter. Twitter is just hate and hostility and abuse. It's not for me. I've had a tough 6 months. I don't want to read all of that. And it basically, people were just like putting the crosshairs at Divock Origi and all that. Yeah, the guy made a mistake. God, we've all made mistakes. You know what I mean? And everybody's like, it's either all terrible or all brilliant. And life is somewhere in the flipping middle. So the Dominguez substitution, I thought, was an excellent substitute. Little Rodrigo, I loved him when he came, and I was kind of thinking, oh, I'd like to have seen 10, 15, maybe 20 minutes more of little Rodrigo. A boy, he must have loved being out there, and he looked sharp when he came on, you know. Origi, you kind of, he's living on the reputation he had at Liverpool. I think he's not the force he was. He doesn't look happy. He's no confidence. It's a psychological dilemma. What do you do with Divock? You know, he's having a poor time. Do you kind of take him out the firing line, or do you say, no, Divock, I'm gonna persevere with you because I know there's something in there. Personally, I'd be like, just come and have a sit with us, Divock. I don't buy into the everybody coming out the ground that I heard basically wished harm against Divock Origi, right? Me, I was thinking all of them, every single one of them allowed Wolves to score from a dreadful corner. So while everybody's blaming Divock Origi because, oh, everybody seems to want to have somebody to hate and somebody to abuse. Not me. I don't want to do that. Stand together as a team, fall together as a team. All 11 of them that were on the field when that Wolves equaliser went in, all 11 of them were culpable. From Matt Sells in goal all the way to Woody. I mean, we've been loving what Woody's doing. What was Woody doing in the box? Mm. Scotty's just said he's 6'7" or whatever, and he can't defend corners. I reckon he would have got there and he would have stopped Max Gilman. We'd have had Max Scott against Max Gilman in the box, and Max Scott would have nodded the thing out. So while we're all, while everybody desperately wants to pile in on Divock Origi, you either pile in on all of Forest or none of them. Yeah, well, you know, Divock Origi would look to me like a man like he almost had too much time to decide. My view is if young Rodrigo had been on the end of it, the young kid had smashed it, and he probably got in the back of the net. It's all ifs, buts, and maybes in hindsight. But, you know, I thought Nico Dominguez, we got better when he came on. We controlled more of the ball when he came on. You know, Yatesy, I love Yatesy, and I will always love Yatesy because you nick him and he bleeds Garibaldi red. But I just happen to think Nico Dominguez is a slightly better footballer. Not much in it, just slightly better. And Nico Dominguez, I thought, looked really good when he came on. He allowed, when he came on, he sort of sat in front of the back four, took the ball off Murillo and Andy, and allowed Morg and Danilo, who Max is dead right. Danilo had a cracking it. What I loved about Danilo, that goal that he scored, he started it. He played the ball in and then he followed in. Morg was brought down and he tapped in. You know, so the substitutions, everybody seems to kind of, I don't know, I'm looking at 90, 96 minutes. I'm not looking at substitutions. Substitutions come and go. And the only way that you know a substitution is either good or bad is in hindsight, only by looking back. You know, he might have put Nuno Tavares and Divock Origi on yesterday, and Nuno Tavares would be cleared off the line and Divock Origi scores. You just don't know until it's happened. Every manager has to make a decision, and you live or die by him, but it's only down the line. But I thought I've got to give Dominguez some. I thought Dominguez was a real post. He would be starting for me at Goodison next week, definitely instead of Yatesy. And that's nothing against Ryan, because Ryan gives everything.
Yeah,
I just think Dominguez is better with the ball. And I thought little Rodrigo, you know, the ball he put around the back of, he's come into a bit of a cauldron of a game that's a 2-2. There's a lot riding on. There's a lot of tension in the stadium. He's come on and he's had the wherewithal and the presence of mind to put the ball behind the fullback. It's a beautiful bit of football. And I'm thinking, you know, let's get him in. I thought it was great that Gio Reyna got a game. I think he's a lovely player. He's nice and elegant with the ball, and he's good in possession as well. And what Reyna does, he doesn't seem like he's busting a gut, but he helps the ball around the field. And I thought he looked good. I do think we missed Anthony. I think we missed Anthony's pace yesterday.
Yeah.
But you know, so I don't. Yeah, there were things about the game that weren't great from Forest, but to say it's all bad or all the substitutions were bad, I'm not buying that. And I'm not going to pile into one individual when the whole club stands or falls together.
Max, do you agree there? Because, I mean, look, I completely take your point on board, Dave, but when you're in a relegation battle, particularly where Forest are, and you've got a chance, like, and, you know, I'm not for 1 minute saying that the fan base should hate one player. It's the same with Yates. It's the same, you know, even you could argue with Sangari and personal hate and things like that just don't even come into football. But when a player like Origi's just got that chance yesterday, and it really is a simple square the ball to Chris Wood, and
yeah,
he can make it 5-5 for him, and he's on hot form, and it was just so angry, and you can watch on the highlights all the Forest fans in the Trent End stand there and almost put their arms in the air and almost just question what on earth he is doing there. And that for me, I just feel like it was, I just struggle to see what Divock Origi offers every single week to be given a chance to come on for Forest at the moment.
Yeah, I would agree. Who else comes on? That's my question. I'm looking at the bench now. Who else can do that? Well, I would argue he can't. He's not a winger, but he has been for us. I don't think Nuno had many options. But yeah, you know, fans' frustration at that particular moment is justified. It wasn't good enough. I think the thing about Divock Origi, bless him, is like Dave said, he's not the player that he once was. I think it also speaks more to our transfer approach, which has been really poor. You know, if this is the person that we're relying on, if this is the player that we think is going to help contribute to our season, then it's just another stark reminder of that. In terms of the substitutions, Nuno Tavares, you know, it was a really poor performance, and I sort of bring that tweet up tongue in cheek. But I think a more serious question off the back of that is, one, Olli Aina's a fantastic player, but he doesn't look like he's got 90 minutes in him. He always loses his legs. And I wonder what that is. But I'd like to think for next season that that can change. I know we've sort of instigated his or triggered his another year on his deal. But also, what has Harry Toffolo ever done wrong?
Yeah, agreed.
He's got a fantastic left foot on him. He can really put a dangerous ball in the box, probably where Diakarigi would be more dangerous in the box than running into it. And so I just find that. The whole Tavares thing baffles me because I don't think that he has I don't think he's contributed much to Forest, and Nuno seems to be hot and cold with him. But hey, that is what it is. We still got the point. It didn't necessarily change anything. But I think questions about Aina's fitness for 90 minutes and where Toffolo sits in the plans of Nuno is an interesting one.
Can I just come in there? I totally wholeheartedly agree with Max on Harry Toffolo. I mean, I don't know whether it's a Portuguese bias or what, but Harry Toffolo to me is one of our most improved players in the whole squad. He's probably our most improved human being in the whole club after what he's been through and the way he's conducted himself. You know, and Harry, wherever we end up next season, Harry's going nowhere. He's part of the fabric now, and I think Harry's come on and has had positive impacts in games. Nuno Tavares, unfortunately, I'm afraid, Arsenal, 30 minutes into that FA Cup tie, he's never got away from that being hooked by Arteta. We all remembered it. It's like he came in damaged goods, a bit like Gaetan Bon came in damaged goods. And unfortunately, Nuno Tavares has done nothing. He has not sat there. If him coming into this club, you would have had him, you would have hoped that he would have had the kind of the presence of mind to think, they all remember me from being hooked. I need to prove them wrong. He's done nothing of the sort. In the same way that Ibrahim Sangare has not sat down and thought, there's a lot of hype around me. They paid a lot of money for me. He's done nothing of the sort to make us think. Morgan Gibbs-White does that every week. Morgan Gibbs-White, I think on the ceiling of his bedroom, he's probably got £40 million. And every morning he gets up and he sees it, and I thought, I've got to justify the fee. And whether Morgan's having a good game or a bad game, he runs his testicles off to prove that the fee that was paid for him is worth it. And these guys, Divock, he must understand that what he did yesterday isn't going to go down well. I mean, I'm not for hammering the guy. All I saw with Divock Origi was there were two options. Do I shoot? Do I swear it to Woody? And he never made his decision in time and didn't either. Now, hopefully that won't become a defining moment of the season, but I've got this terrible feeling that it will. You know, we've got now five games in which to be good enough to make sure that we don't look back to that. Do you know what I mean? But it was
on the thinking about the sub still, I sort of agree with, I think it's time that Dominguez starts. I think the question for me then is going to, you know, when we play City, is that the sort of game where, because he started in one of his first games for Forest against City, didn't he? And I just wonder, is that the game for him to start? Or is that the game where you need someone like Yates in there? We're going to be chasing our tails either way, I can imagine. But do you want Dominguez to sort of, to try to give us a little bit more time on the ball, a little bit more composure? Or because we're not going to be spending much time on the ball, do you need Yates trying to sort of, with a bit of needle, and try and put them off? Because we've seen what's happened today to Arsenal, Liverpool, and you can't help but think that maybe City have got one more awkward game. And God, I'd love it if it was us, because whilst we're at the bottom end, just as, you know, as a product for the Premier League, I think it's really important that there is a new champion. I said it before when we started, but it's beginning to feel like the Premier League is becoming a little bit like the French Farmers League, a bit like the Bundesliga in terms of that one team dominance, and I think that needs disrupting. And so I wonder if Yates can help that, if you like. You know, Yates can help get in a way, or you know, what do you think?
Do you know what, Max? The theory that you posit is an interesting one, because I love them both, and I think it's a toss of a coin, and you might start Ryan and it goes well, or it doesn't go well, and you might start Nicholas and it might go well, it might not go so well. I just don't know. I just felt that we were better with the ball when Nicolas Dominguez come on. But if you want somebody who's going to ruffle feathers, all I would say about Ryan Yates was that at Tottenham last, well, almost exactly a week ago to the very moment, first 15 minutes of that game, there were four scruffy fouls, four needless fouls. And you just think with him, well, I mean, and then there was the incident with him and Maddison. And, you know, Roy Keane, I think he was, made the point that, you know, if you live by that sword, then you sometimes have to die by it. And I just think sometimes with Yatesy, he gets, there's playing on the edge, and there's sometimes going beyond it. Now, Dominguez, the times I've seen Dominguez, you're dead right, Max, his first game for us was at City, where, because Rodri was sent off, we did dominate the second half, although against 10 men, but we still lost, didn't we? But that day, he looked a guy who could move the ball about and wanted it and all this kind of stuff. Now, Morgan did that against Palace in the latter half of the Palace game. But with Dominguez, I just think he's got a better, he's tidier in his tackling and can get a toe in.
Yeah.
And I just think he's better with the ball. Now, you know, Ryan Yates, the thing with Ryan Yates is every time his detractors believe that he's reached the ceiling, Ryan Yates finds a way to go beyond it. That's why he's the last one remaining, the last man standing from the Wembley team. So, you know, I love the kid. I never, ever want to write him off, because when you start writing him off, he comes back. Nobody gives more, like, you know. I mean, yesterday...
It's a bit like your point earlier, Dave, about social media. You know, us saying here on this podcast that we don't think Ryan Yates should... Or perhaps we think that Dominguez should come in for Ryan Yates. We're not saying that Ryan Yates is a terrible player. You know,
we're not
saying as things stand. So, that, of course, there needs to be much more nuance. But, I just sort of... because, look, we're probably not going to get anything from City, probably.
No.
But what I would like to see is us at least try to play a particular way and have sort of a clear way of playing. And that's what really frustrated me. I was at the Spurs game. What really frustrated me was that when the subs were made, it looked like they didn't have a clue. I felt that it looked like they'd lost a bit of fight in that Spurs game when they were 3-1 down. And I'd just like to see us sort of go to City and look like we can do something.
I
think for me, perhaps opting for Dominguez against City, I would go for trying to see what, you know, see if he can alleviate some of that pressure, because he's really good on the ball.
He's a player, isn't he, Dave? I was just going to say that kind of splits opinion. I love doing podcasts with you, so I can always throw the firework in and sit back and almost have a break from asking the question.
Grenades in the mill pond, dear boy. Grenades in the mill pond.
Exactly. He is a player that splits opinion, isn't he, Dave? And you can speak to one fan who will kind of die on the hill for Ryan Yates and defend him, and you'll speak to others that are kind of on completely the other end of the spectrum in a way in regards to Yates. And it is one of those where for certain games, you just feel like, especially against teams like Tottenham, it wasn't the game for him to start. We touched on it last week on the podcast, but yesterday maybe was for a game for him to start. It was always going to be a bit scrappy against Wolves. There's that rivalry that seems to have come to light with Morgan Gibbs-White. And you did expect him to start. You expected him to keep his place, but another poor performance from him. You must be kind of questioning, well, surely Nuno must see something different on the training pitch to play him maybe. And of course, Ryan Yates has had a brilliant attitude around the football club. But if you're looking just on the pitch and technical ability of a player, his recent performances would surely argue that Dominguez has to start against Everton next week and a change has to be made in that position.
Yeah, I mean, it's... You know, the thing is, what I did notice about him yesterday was, I think in the previous game at home, he'd received the ball outside the opposition box and everybody in the ground shouted, shoot, and he didn't. Now, yesterday early on, he had two or three chances where he was desperate to shoot. You can see it written all over his face, I'm going to show you, lot, I'm going to shoot, right? And now, if it's effort and it's commitment, then the guy's bomb-proof, because he gives the lot every week. But it's just that, to take Max's word, it's the nuance of what he does. We want more nuanced players because this league demands it. This afternoon, I watched Deborah Richieze. Now, there's nuance for you. Young Wharton, who Palace have signed from Blackburn, what a player he's going to be. Yeah. Fantastic. That's one of the finest signings of the season, right? And you want a bit more from your midfield. And with us, I don't, you know, that's why Palace are above us, because they've got a better midfield than us. And I think since we've come up, our apart from set pieces, our other Achilles heel has been in midfield. We haven't controlled enough possession, certainly not last season. We got better at it this year, but we haven't got a quarterback. Now, the nearest we've had to a quarterback, I thought, was Morgan, second half against Crystal Palace, when Morgan had to drop deeper and Morgan wanted the ball and he was sending stuff left, right and centre. But ideally, you want Morgan further forward, hurting people in their own backyard. Do you know what I mean? So we've never had really, most, this is not to denigrate any of our lads in midfield, because I'm sure they all try hard. I don't buy this idea that if you win, you've tried hard. If you lose, you don't try. Sometimes you try your nuts off and you get beat, right? But I just don't think there's been enough subtlety in our midfield. There's been lots of effort. Pure effort won't take you very far in this league. I mean, you know, maybe Burnley and Sheffield United have been putting lots of effort in, but they just haven't got the quality. Chris Wilder himself even said it last night. And I think we lack for somebody who can open a game up. Somebody's got the vision to say, for all the Forest, let's say, right, we'll give the ball to him. Back in the day, we had a little fat lad on the left-hand side who everybody gave the ball to, and we could dominate a game from the left-hand side. You've never seen a more imbalanced team in your life than Nottingham Forest, the great Forest, because everything went down the left. A little bloke who liked a fag and a pint. We haven't got anybody. We haven't got a guy who can truly run a game for us. You know, Eze can do it for Palace. The teams at the top have got guys.
You don't think Gibbs White is that guy for us? Whether he does it consistently or not, but do you not think he's that player?
Yeah.
I actually do, Max. To take your point, Matt, I do think Morgan's that guy. I think attitudinally and talent-wise, but it's almost like you'd like two or three Morgans in different parts of the field. You know what I mean? I liked that game against Palace when we were awful first half and then came back and got a point, you know, and he created Woody's brilliant header. Moore was basically playing in front of the back board. I liked him there. But then yesterday he was further forward and I liked him. And let's give a shout out to Morgan, a small bloke in a box full of big guys to score that header to bring us level at a point where I couldn't see us scoring. Mm. You know, so, yeah, it's just that, you know, you'd kind of hope that somebody like Sangare would come in and build a platform that we could sort of develop our play from, but that hasn't happened. It would not surprise me if Sangare was still with us next year, and wherever we end up, he'd better next year. Chris Wood, the same. Chris Wood last year, nobody had much love for Chris Wood. Mm. Now he's the best goals per minute striker in this league, better than even the guys at the top, like Watkins and Haaland and whoever else. So, you know, I just don't. Our midfield has been more blunt object than cutting implement since we come up, and that if we somehow manage to scramble our way to stay up, that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, it does. So yeah, it was an interesting point actually there, Dave, and kind of Max coming in with the Gibbs White situation, and I'll kind of give a shout out to Gibbs White. And I think I went on Twitter yesterday, and I know you talk about staying off it, Dave, but this kind of I actually saw from quite a well-known Wolves journalist that questioned why Morgan Gibbs White celebrated in that way in front of the Wolves fans. And I'd kind of go back there and say, well, you know, when an away end is chanting quite awful chants about Morgan Gibbs White's girlfriend and various things about his baby child, I would kind of argue that he has every right to do that. And I just think it was a stupid opinion from that guy. Just to throw that in. And I thought Morgan did very well yesterday, considering the whole rivalry. And, you know, that kind of does spill onto the pitch sometimes as well. Just moving on, and we're going to have to touch on it. Made a note in big capitals here about set pieces. We touched on it a little bit at the start, but it needs to be talked about more. We score from one, we then concede from one in about 3 or 4 minutes. Two things that kind of tell the story of Forest season: the mentality of switching off, scoring a goal, and then conceding in the next 2 or 3 minutes. You almost know when Forest score now that they're going to concede. It's almost inevitable. And then it's from a set piece, and you just feel like, Max, that has been the story of the season. And we're talking about set pieces every week, but but nothing seems to change. And I just wonder what you think in terms of where does that responsibility lie? You can blame the players, yes, on the football pitch, but is that just a coaching point of view? Do they simply need to work on defending corners for hours and hours on the training ground? Is that something from Nuno? Is that something from his coaching staff? This alleged set piece coach that's supposed to be involved? What is the problem that's constantly causing it?
I think, you know, then everybody involved has got to take responsibility. But I do sort of fall a little bit. Of course, you know, of course, coaches need to sort that out. But I sort of think there comes a point on the pitch where if you've conceded that many, eventually you just start taking control of the situation. You know, and if they've told you to defend it zonally and you know that it's not working, then you go man to man or vice versa. Like, I just think, you know, it needs leaders on the pitch. And you know, Murillo's a fabulous player, but I don't necessarily think he's that leader yet. Because he's so young, you know, he's in a new country, new language. I don't think we can expect him to do even more than he currently is. And so I'm sort of looking, sort of thinking, who is it that's sort of shouting? Who is it that's commanding in the box there and, you know, and putting the bodies on the line, you know, every single corner when it happens? But I'm really bored of talking about it. What do I know? You know, the players need to take responsibility, but the coaches need to sort it out. I mean, it is embarrassing. It's embarrassing for a top-level football team in the Premier League to be so weak and vulnerable from set pieces. And it's now a thing, isn't it? It's now a thing that when Forest concede a corner, the Forest fans' mentality changes, but now the opposition fans know. You know, they know how bad we are. And so there's this sort of double jeopardy where the feeling around the stadium changes and it just feels inevitable at the minute. But again, like a bit like Dave said, it's not for one. I can't imagine it's for a lack of effort or a lack of trying. They're just not good enough. But they, saying they need to sort it out is the most obvious thing anyone's ever said. And I haven't got anything else to say about it other than sort it out, or you know, let's hope that it gets better.
I think if we'd seen more of Willy Bolly, that would have made a difference, because I get the impression, I watched a thing where Woody was asked to describe all his squad mates in one word.
Oh yeah.
And when he got to Willy Bolly, he just said father. And I get the impression Willie's a leader in the group. And I mean, the only time Willie's played recently was at Luton. And I'm about to shoot my own argument in its foot. You know, at Luton, Willie played really... Actually, no, I'm not about to shoot my own argument in the foot. Nuno did that. So Willie played at Luton. And we were the better team at Luton. And we looked really calm at the back. And Willie brings that calm. Willie might not be as good as he was, but Willie used his experience. And that day against Luton, until Willie went off, we looked really solid at the back. And we haven't seen him since. And I just think with his height, I think he reads the game better than a lot of people give him credit for. He's obviously good in the air. And I think he's been pretty solid for us when he's played. He's just, unfortunately, he's like a few of ours, a bit, you know, they're on the treatment table more than they're on the green swathe of grass. And I think if Willie had played more, I still think we would have been not great at set pieces, but we might have been better than the 22 that is now the glaring, glowing sore thumb that everybody in the country knows about. It's a shameful thing, really. And again, you ask for self-awareness amongst the squad. I mean, I agree, you know, Murillo is... I was on a podcast with some Wolves lads last week and they said, oh, he's a fun player, that Murillo. And he is fun. I'm sure soon we will see a goal from 90 yards out. He's going to try it. He tried it at Luton. He walked far away. He tried it at Tottenham, right? Andy Omabamadeli, I think he's going to be a hell of a player. I really like that kid. Unassuming, quiet, elegant, gets some of the game. Not the full package yet, but he's going to be a good player. I think if we were to drop to the Championship, Andy Omabamadeli would be one of the best players in that division by a mile, and he would really develop. Hopefully, we'll stay in this league and Andy will get better. I think Andy's got a great future, really. I like him a lot. But I just think replace either of them with Willie, it might have been better. I'm not saying it'd been brilliant, but it might not have been as... catastrophic, really, because it's such a gaping wound. And every team, you know, that we, you know, Everton, Sheffield United, Burnley, City, and Chelsea will be thinking, let's take a big packet of salt with us and pour it in Forest's gaping set piece wound. They'll all know it. You know, I tell you what, at Bramall Lane, if we concede a corner, that lot will be on it in a flash. You know, I mean,
I worry about that Everton as well, just with, you know, Sean Dyche.
Beto, Brandthwaite.
In fact, this comment here, yeah. This comment, full credit to Lee for putting it, going up against the strongest set piece in the league next week.
Yeah. Tidy comment. It's a tidy comment, Lee. I go with that, mate.
It's pretty bleak, isn't it? You just always feel that Forest are only going to win games if they need to score two or three, you know.
Yeah.
Or three or four.
Calvert-Lewin, Brandthwaite, Beto, Tarkowski. They're gonna be right in that box next week. And that's kind of where you would want Willie to kind of go up against them rather than Andy or Murillo. Do you know what I mean? We just don't look very big on the pitch. I mean, every time.
And that's another thing that's another thing with Dominguez, isn't it? The only thing about Dominguez is if he was 6'2", he might not be playing for Forest. But you know, he's very diminutive, and Gibbs White makes up, you know, for being quite small in sort of aggression and covering the grass. But I just think you need someone like Yates is an athlete, isn't he? And he's big and strong, and so those questions do come into mind. Same with City when you're coming up against Rodri, who's just man mountain. That question, I keep coming back to that, because I'm really concerned that that'll happen at Everton. And so, I'm sort of swaying now back towards Yates.
Podcasts say they can do funny things to you, Max. Mm. This comment from Simon makes me laugh. I have a plan. Pray. .. is that in regards to set pieces or to everything? I assume everything. Just quickly before we kind of touch on relegation and this kind of final run in and everything like that, and obviously a bigger game against Everton next week. Now, let's touch on some positives. And Dave, you're often a man that can seem to pluck out positives from a very bleak situation. So talk to me and talk to the listeners and tell us that everything's going to be all right. But touch on some positives yesterday for me. I thought Gibbs White, again, we've mentioned him, how vital he is. But we did show aggression. We did show that kind of attacking mentality that we've wanted. Front foot, we played kind of there for a lot of the game. And we showed passion. We showed desire. It didn't seem to me, bar Nuno Tavares and Divock Origi, that there was, you know, I just felt like there was passion from a lot of the Forest squad yesterday. And that does stand us in good stead, given this final running.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, you touched, Max, on Morgan and the relationship he's got with the Wolves fans. But some of the things that would be, when somebody's singing about someone's loved one and someone's child, now that to me is truly beyond the pale. I wouldn't dream of doing that, not to anybody. You know, don't buy into that. Now, in the past, probably for 20 odd years, Nottingham Forest was a bland, amorphous blob lacking personality. Morgan Gibbs White's got personality. And if they're giving him grief, what I liked about Morgan is I thought Morgan was excellent yesterday. He's really come back to the fore. He had a few games. I mean, against Fulham first off, everybody wrote him off after his first corner, and then he proceeded to produce one of the best individual performances by a Nottingham Forest player for a long, long time, right? And yesterday, when he did the stuff, he won a bit of personality. We had, for 20 odd years in the Championship, we had no personality. We had nobody you could kind of think, he's cool. He's got a bit of something of pizzazz about him. Morgan's got it right. And what was good was Cunha did it back. And Morgan was asked afterwards. And it was like, yeah, fair play. You know, so I like that. I mean, I think Morgan's got oodles of personality and character. Murillo's got it. Danilo's got it. Nico Williams is playing so well at the moment. It's one of my favourites. It was his birthday yesterday. I wanted to give him a hug. He's one of my contenders for player of the season, because whatever the situation, Nico gives you the lot, tries his guts out. you know, this time last year he had his jaw broke and all that kind of stuff. So and he went to the World Cup and that wasn't easy for him and what have you. He's bounced back. Nico's fantastic. I mean, the weird thing is, you know, Matt Sells has been good since he come in. The back four, you couldn't say any of them had a real shocker. Yeah, we conceded in goal, but, you know, it's kind of like the back four is sort of like youngish lads all learning on the job as they go. And, they, you know, I said, if you were to keep them together as a unit for another 2 or 3 years, I'll tell you what, I think they'd be really good. Ole Aina is, I think it's been a really good signing. He's come in, he came in with little fanfare and he's produced some beautiful football. And the football that he did last week to create the chance where Woody hit the post, ball's gone over Pedro Porro, chested it down, laid it across. He's a lovely footballer. He can go out. He seems like he's ambidextrous, can go left, can go right. I mean, we've got some good lads in our team. Can I give you ultimate hope that we'll stay up? I honestly don't know. It's almost, if I was to say, oh yeah, Forest will stay up, they'll probably go down. If I was to say, I almost feel like now they're doomed. I'd rather say they're doomed because Dave Asprey's 100% wrong, he said, talking about himself in the third person. You know, so I there's lots about our team. I do kind of wish Taiwo was fit because, you know, and Woody's doing brilliantly. Woody has gone to a level this year that none of us saw last year, me included. I did write him off. I was wrong again. But it'd be nice for him to have some backup. You know, it's just we're just not quite the complete thing. It's probably going to come down to us and Luton. Our running now that they've got City out of the way, probably is a little harder than theirs. I mean, I think, you know, people are saying, well, wouldn't it be great if Sheffield United and Burnley are down by the time we go to Bramall Lane and Turf Moor? I think the Sheffield United game's going to be hard because they loathe us. If they're down, they'll say, right, you lot are coming down with us. That is going to be a battle. It'll be a battle. However average Sheffield United are, and they are truly average, they won't make that.
I think average is a compliment, Dave.
Yeah. Sheffield United fans tuning in for some like positivity. You're average. You know,
so I can see us getting clipped now. When I can see us getting clipped if Sheffield United beat Forest, will be the face of Sheffield United's Twitter for a week.
Yeah, I mean the thing is, none of these games are easy. I absolutely. I mean, if we were to win next week, then that would be huge. But that's going to be really difficult. I mean, they're all difficult. I probably think the one that I'm more hopeful that we win is Chelsea at home. I fancy us to beat Chelsea because Chelsea are £1 billion worth of, well, yogurt, basically, aren't they? You know what I mean? There's nothing there, is there really? Just low-fat yogurt with a sprinkling of Cole Palmer. There's not much else that you get. You don't get much for £1 billion these days, do you? You know, so, Max, do I know whether we'll stay up or not? No, I'll tell you this time, 5 weeks from tonight. I'll tell you then. God. And if we go down, then we'll have to lump it. If we stay up, great. And then we get better next season. But I honestly don't know, mate. Really don't know.
Yeah. Just finish us off there then, Max. Closing points. Another big game away at Goodison next week. Not going to be easy. The El Point Deducto rivalry takes place. And... Sorry, I had to do it. How are you feeling, Max? Do you honestly think that... Can you honestly see Forest staying up?
Yeah, I can see us staying up.
That's what we want.
We're ahead of Luton. We're a point ahead of Luton. We're better than
goal
Luton.
Goal difference.
Goal difference. I think, you know, from the Fulham game, parts of the Palace game, half an hour of the Spurs game, most of the Wolves game, you know, we're showing that we can be a threat. I don't want to talk about corners, but we've got to sort those out. But, yeah, of course I can see us staying up. But I can also see us getting relegated because Luton have that magic. Luton, they are the story this season, I think. You know,
yeah.
That's what, as journalists, we're always looking for that story. It's why Luton gets so much coverage. It's why the conversation seems to be sort of, or the feeling from the media is that they want Luton to stay up. And I don't blame them. You know, what a story. I think Forest have made some enemies because of the way that they've approached the transfer market and the refereeing stuff, you know, things like that. And by that, I mean Mark Clattenbow's appointment, not the referees who have made some awful decisions against us. And so, yeah, of course, I can see Luton staying up as well. And that would be at our expense. I mean, I really don't think I think Everton are probably going to be okay. But yeah, I think I've seen plenty in the past few games, enough to make me say with confidence that I really do think we can. But look, you know, a moment can change a game, you know. Just anything can happen. You know, there are so many, there are a myriad of scenarios where it all goes pear-shaped for us.
Ask Murich, Max, hey? Ask Murich.
Yeah. I'm confident. I think Morgan Gibbs-White's on a one-man mission to keep this football club up before he probably goes on to another club. And I just think for him, you know, I would love that, because I think he's just a really fabulous representative of the football club.
Yeah.
And has maintained a level of of consistency, of calm, but equally fiery when he needs to be. And just to reiterate what you said, Max, about comments made that he shouldn't be celebrating like that. I mean, what sort of game do you want? You know, some beige game where footballers just sort of bend over and let themselves get abused by fans and then don't show any sort of character in response. I think it's absolute farce that someone would even suggest that. He's put his fingers in his ear, you know, against his old club. Get over it. Stop crying. And I just think it's a dangerous precedent. It's a dangerous precedent to suggest that football players... I think it's dangerously close to saying that football players should just accept the abuse that they get from fans. They should just accept abuse aimed towards their loved ones and children. Mm. I mean, crikey. That's why, you know, Dave saying he's not on Twitter, I completely understand it, you know.
Yeah.
So it'd be great to do it, I think, for Morgan. Obviously, for the fans are the most important thing, but I think Morgan Gibbs-White deserves that to be on his CV, that he led the club into safety in a really tumultuous season. And so, that'd be good.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well said, mate.
This was nicely. Yeah, we're out of time, sadly, on this Sunday. Just another interesting chat, but we'll be here most weeks discussing it. And fingers crossed, Dave, as you said, 5 weeks' time from now, before I go on my holidays, we'll be talking about Forest having a nice end to the season. And Forest ultimately, it'll be a big sigh of relief.
Remember, Brighton's first four seasons in the Premier League, 15th, 17th, 15th, 16th. Never got away from that.
Yeah.
If we can recreate that, great. Just stay in this league.
Yeah, no, good stuff. Just a few final things for me before I go. Massive shout out to Noel and Amy from Belfast yesterday. They came and said hello and were big listeners of the Garibaldi Red podcast. So a shout out to them. Also, the couple from Sydney that said hello as well that also listened. It's nice to hear good feedback. So please do keep listening, subscribing, sharing. Dave, go on. You've got one last thing to say. Take it away.
I'd like to give a little shout out as well to two lovely people I met in the concourse of the Trent yesterday, Simon and Bridget, who had lovely things to say about this podcast. So I'd like to say hello to those two, the absolute diamonds pair of them.
Lovely, good stuff. Thank you. And Dave flying the flag for the Garibaldi Red. I'm sure you walk around with like a massive Garibaldi Red sticker on your head.
No, I had a Nine Inch Nails hat on, mate.
Oh, right. I think that does us nicely as Forest get a point that may prove vital at the end of the season. Who knows? Max, Dave, thank you. As always, do like, share and subscribe on YouTube. Leave us a review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Dave, got to say it. Max is this weekend. They've been on fine form. Me, Max Scott, and I am Maximus, even won the Grand National too. Come on, I've already read.
Yeah,
have a wonderful Sunday. Bye-bye.